In November of 2023, the Swell Pod took a 10-day journey across 5 states, traveling 3,580 miles with one challenge in mind.
And that challenge was to interview 100 pleasantly rebellious humans to uncover deep truths about what it takes to create something that has never existed before, challenge the status quo, maybe even change the world.
This is the Kiln Road Trip, created and produced by The Swell Pod.
In partnership with Kiln, Moterra Camper Vans, and sponsored by Taurus.
I'm Spencer McEwen.
And I'm Josh Taylor, and together we're the co-hosts of The Swell Pod and your guides on the Kiln Road Trip. Follow along on the journey.
Be sure to subscribe to the podcast, follow The Swell Pod on social media, and subscribe to your YouTube channel at, you guessed it, The Swell Pod.
This is interview 23 of the Kiln Road Trip, and today we're at Kiln Lehigh talking with Nate Sanders. Nate is CEO and co-founder of Artifact. Artifact's AI analyzes what customers say and do and surfaces predictive insights that ensure you know exactly what will drive customer growth and loyalty. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy.
Nate Sanders, I'm the CEO and co-founder of Artifact, and Artifact is a predictive customer experience solution. So we centralize all of the customer voice that you have and help you analyze and measure it and quantify it so you can make better customer experience decisions.
That's incredible. Actually, I'm sure you guys are doing probably pretty well, right?
Like trying to. Yeah. We're still very early on, but yeah, things are going well.
It's a huge opportunity.
Yeah, it is.
That's great. And just for the audience that might not know this area, just give us an example of how that would work.
Like the problem that else,
yeah, the problem that is being solved through doing that.
Yeah. So one of the funny parts is my exposure to both of you is through one of the episodes earlier on with one of my good friends, Gilbert Lee, who was on one of your episodes.
Yeah, we know Gilbert.
Yeah. And you three actually talked about this this principle of understanding the voice of the customer. And so essentially, one of the really difficult problems that you have across growing enterprises, commercial and enterprises especially, have this problem, which is you have all of this customer voice. It could be reviews, it could be sales calls, it could be support tickets, chat logs, NPS results. They're all unstructured representations of what is the customer saying, what do they want, what do they need, what are they requesting. And it's really difficult to be able to actually, first of all, understand what are customers saying, and then use that data in a way that you can measure, quantify it, so you can actually understand what are we going to do with this information, how are we going to apply it to the customer experience, how can we help prioritize decisions across the business with something that actually has an attached metric versus something that's usually reported with anecdote.
Interesting. So I want to dive into that. Let's just go back for a moment, though, to who you are. Tell us a bit about your background and family or growing up or whatever you want to share.
So I'll start at the beginning then. So I grew up in Fort Collins, Colorado. So just a hop, a skip, and a jump from where you folks will be here in the next week. And yeah, I was there for 18 years, came out to Utah after that for school and just never left. I was really interested in startups and just, I think originally it was more like entrepreneurship, I would say. So it probably would have been more on the small business side. Earlier in my life that I was interested in, I had brothers that were starting small businesses, and I really liked that concept of that's how I could live my life. And I got really interested in graphic design from the sense of all these new businesses, you need to start a website and build a website. And from graphic design, I got really interested in user experience. And that's where I spent the first part of my career, was designing the user experience for products, digital products. So it was very early on in my career. I went to Degreed, which is a really large ed tech company now. And then from there was at Bamboo HR for a short stint, and then directed product at Canopy Tax for a couple of years. And then went to Pluralsight, where I met, where I worked with Nate and Gil, and they had been long-term mentors. So
that's awesome. Good mentors.
Yeah, they are good. Sure.
Great story. Awesome. How about your family, your parents or your siblings? Yeah. Like, tell us a bit about them.
Yeah. So family of 5 boys. I'm the youngest. Mm. So, you know, the whole chips on shoulders plus chips in pockets is probably one of the more annoying traits I think my brothers would say I have. And then, my family today, 2 little girls. Our oldest is 9. Our youngest is 5. Couldn't be more opposite in personalities, but they're both just like amazing people. And my wife is an amazing person. She's awesome. We grew up together in Colorado and have known each other for a long time. And she puts up with my crazy entrepreneurial ways and is a great mother and a great partner.
That's great. It's interesting. Not everyone will know what this means, but my daughter put her mission papers in just recently. I got a screenshot last night that says, you know, what her application of what my dad does at work.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Is that what she said?
That's what she put. I have no idea. And so, but do your kids know what? Do they understand?
You know what's ironic about that is that recently, my oldest daughter does cheer, and her coach was asking her what I did, but he asked my wife first, and my wife is like stumbling through explaining what I do for a living, and my daughter is like, "Hold on, I got this. Hand me the mic," and did a pretty dang good job of explaining what Artifact does. So.
Wow. That's what you want, right? Yeah. Someone that is outside the company, maybe a child that can actually understand it at that level.
Yeah.
That's actually great. A really good point. That's a really good point. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's not the mom, not the mom test, the kid test.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So just, sorry, you mentioned, and I might have missed this, but you mentioned that it relatively new. How long has Artifact been around, or how long you've been building it?
So, we started the company in 2019, but we spent almost 3 years in research and development.
Wow.
So building AI first products, every single feature we have is very corely attached to artificial intelligence and a lot of the boom that's happened there. Mm-hmm. But we're building those products before a lot of the GPT models were available, were prominent, or even I think in the current zeitgeist of ChatGPT and things like that. So, been building product for a long time and started commercializing last year.
Are you going through a whirlwind kind of right now with everything that's going on?
Like, definitely. Yeah. In many ways, I think we've seen it accelerate market readiness.
Yeah.
We used to have people that would come to us and be like, if this is real, cool, I'll take a look. And now people have, OKRs and charters to be able to procure systems that look like Artifact.
Mm.
And then on the other side is like keeping up with what's happening, which I think is more on the nose of what you're asking of. Yeah. There's just a lot of innovation and there's a lot of need to change how practices are being done because people and the whole industry is evolving around this.
Mm. Yeah, it's a really great spot to be in. I really think the customer insights, it's just a huge opportunity.
Yeah,
it's incredible. What's maybe one of the bigger challenges that you're facing right now?
I think it's like graduated in complexity as we've moved on. And in the very beginning, it was how do we find POC partners, like design partners, where we can actually get data to train our models and iterate and prototype and build product. And then that became early on, how do we actually get customers to close? is reductive as that sounds. Mm-hmm. We had a period of time with all of these different black swan events, whether it was macroeconomic or COVID or whatever it was, of like, how do you get a customer to go from middle of funnel to just close one or close loss? We don't care. We need to see the signal. And over the last 6 months, it's become a lot more like, how do we get as many people in the top of the funnel as we can? And then, progress them on. So right now, I'd say the biggest challenge is on the go-to-market side. Like we view product market fit as a system that it's not just about like, do you have the right product? It's do you have all these working systems of a business and are you lifting them in concert? Hmm. And I would say the variable that we're trying to get accelerated, more efficient, more effective right now is go-to-market. Yeah. And so being better about top of funnel, not being everything to everyone, lasering in on our POC or our ideal customer, IACP, excuse me. Those are the challenges that we're really corely focused on.
Yeah, very interesting. Yeah. Could you maybe take me just through a use case of how a customer would use your product?
Yeah, so I'll focus on product management because that's where most of our user base lies. But right now, product management spends an enormous amount of their time synthesizing information from different departments, their own primary research, things like that. And then they'll generally use that to be able to either prioritize or help their development teams understand what's next. So for Artifact, where we come into play is you can now have this ability across all channels across the business to be able to measure what the customer is saying. So a product manager could be able to use that at the beginning of a quarter, at the beginning of a week, to be able to say, here are the most common feature requests, here's the most common bugs related to the area that we're focused on. How do we actually use that to prioritize what's next this week? And then have these artifacts that you can actually share with your team, mm-hmm. with business stakeholders to say, here's what we're doing and why we're doing it related to that. And then I think a couple of like examples of how that showed up for some of our customers. One of the common examples we use quite often is Pura is one of our early customers. They had an issue about a year and a half ago where they had a diffuser, a cohort of their customers whose diffusers weren't connecting to Wi-Fi. Hmm. And for those that don't know, they make this connected Scent diffuser device. It's like a connected Glade plugin. And so they had an anomaly or the spike in the topic of customers saying, I can't connect my diffuser to my Wi-Fi. Mm. And they were able to diagnose which specific types of customers were having this issue to be able to find out that anyone with other five devices was having this issue and like prioritize the engineering work to be able to go solve that problem mm-hmm. as fast as possible. Mm. So using all those insights and measurement, those insights to be able to drive prioritization is a really core use case across product functions and even customer experience functions.
That makes sense.
That's awesome.
Is it core the trying to understand all the pain points or the areas of breakdown across the whole journey?
Yeah.
Is that its core thing? And does it also look at, I can imagine it looks at things that the customer wants as a better experience. So let's assume everything's working fine, but what do they really want?
Yeah.
Or to exceed their expectations? Like what, is it more on the issue side or is it really both?
Yeah, if you look at the history of text analytics, most text analytics solutions have given you what are called engrams, which is like keyword analysis. So the solution that you are probably familiar with and I was familiar with throughout my career was like a tag cloud that I could see 1, 2, maybe 3 word phrases to be able to describe what mm-hmm. someone is saying. And it's impossible to take this 3 word phrase and actually derive what do I strategically do about this mm-hmm. and get money or capital or, you know, trust from the business stakeholder to be able to go do something around. So for instance, for let's use Pura again, like in traditional text analytics solutions, that might've been like diffuser Wi-Fi. Well, what about diffuser Wi-Fi? Is it broken? Is there a problem with it? Like, do people love it? Like what's going on? Mm-hmm. Whereas with Artifact, the topic model that we've built, it creates these really verbose phrases. So you can actually get to, when I open the box, you know, all of the scent was spilling all over, right? Yeah. Right? Stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
So they can use it to be able to understand core customer experience issues. And more than that, like the specificity and that verbosity helps them understand the actual thing that's going wrong or that they can improve or maybe an opportunity they want to pursue. Hmm. And then we have a number of tools that help you measure and do discovery around that. So you have an ad hoc analysis tool where you can slice and dice and look at it through different lenses. We have a tool that's like ChatGPT where you can ask any question you want about the customer experience. We retrieve all of the semantically similar representations of what's happening inside your customer experience and then create an answer for you. So it's driving towards, if you can measure and understand what the customer is saying with specificity, there's a lot of common business analytics capabilities that you can apply to that to be able to make better decisions.
Yeah. Before we get into the rest of the episode, we want to thank the partners and sponsors who made the Kiln Road Trip possible. The Kiln Road Trip is brought to you by Kiln. Kiln is a boutique co-working and flex office community with 13 locations in 6 states across the West, dedicated to providing innovative workspaces that empower your team to thrive. Whether you're a solo visionary or an enterprise-level team of up to 100, Kiln transcends being merely a place to work. It's a hub for learning and connecting with like-minded professionals that will make you and your team love where you work.
And if you haven't stepped foot inside a kiln yet, you really need to. On this road trip, we visited every single location, and trust us when we say, once you see these beautifully designed spaces, meet the talented team, and connect with fellow members, you won't want to work anywhere else.
Locations include Utah, Colorado, Idaho, Oregon, California, and Arizona. And they're growing too, with multiple locations set to open in 2024.
Yeah, so be sure to check out the Kiln locations nearest you by booking a tour at kiln.com and answer Swell in the question, how did you hear about us? Once you complete the tour, you'll be entered into a competition where you could win a 1-year membership, their club membership at Kiln.
Yep, you heard that. That's kiln.com. Book a tour and be sure to mention Swell in the question, how did you hear about us?
The Kiln Road Trip is also brought to you by Motera Campervans, a luxury campervan rental company for iconic road trips. Their top-of-the-line vans are available at 7 locations located near America's best outdoor adventure destinations. They have consistently earned the highest customer ratings in the industry, making Motera Campervans your gateway to adventure without sacrificing on comfort or service.
That's true, and initially we wanted to take this journey in a 1960s VW bus, but thankfully we found Motera instead. With three van options, we took the Pop Top Classic, which sleeps four and is best for those who want to maximize floor space and storage. This was critical for us because it needed to sleep the entire crew, we needed space to edit, and we were traveling with large amounts of equipment, luggage, and, you know, other goodies that we picked up along the way.
And this van took us through all 3,580 miles of the trip, super comfortable and sweet to drive.
And actually, Motera offers fully planned itineraries if you'd rather leave the planning to someone else.
Visit gomotera.com/swell. That's gomotera.com/swell.
This episode is also brought to you by Taurus. Taurus is leading the charge in home energy storage. Taurus makes it easy to achieve energy independence and a greener tomorrow. The Taurus Station provides everything you need to generate clean power, efficiently store electricity, and easily manage your energy use.
And installing a Taurus Station offers plenty of benefits, including save money on your electricity bill.
Also, ensure energy security with backup power during outages.
Reduce carbon emissions with renewables.
You can also automate EV charging and HVAC systems with 100% renewables.
And enjoy unrivaled system monitoring and support.
If you like the sound of those benefits, get a quote to build your Taurus station in less than 30 seconds. Super easy at Taurus.co. That's Taurus.co. Now, let's get back to the episode.
That's great.
That's really good. I'm wondering, so one of the questions that we ask everybody that comes on the podcast, you know, is what does it take to take an idea and create something that's never existed before, create a movement, you know, challenge the status quo? I'd be interested to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah, we've definitely lived that. I think the phrase that we use a lot internally in our company, and I think it comes to my mind in this situation, is the map is not the territory. If you've ever heard that expression,
yeah.
That essentially there are probably good existing ways of doing something, but you also have to be open to the fact that like there might be another way of doing something. And that phrase, that map is not the territory, is essentially saying that like you have to use abstractions to move forward and to make good decisions. Like a map is an abstraction. And if it wasn't, we would just be walking through the real world. You wouldn't need a map if it was 100% fidelity. So we need these imperfect models to be able to understand how to make good decisions. But at the end of the day, you also need to be open to the fact that that might not be the right way to look at a solution. And we've gone through that many times. So in our case, it's applied research where we're not a deep learning lab like OpenAI or Anthropic. We're doing a lot of applied research, which means that we need to be open to, is this the right solution? Can we tweak this? Is there an experiment that we can run that will help us get us farther? That's helped us an enormous amount throughout the last few years, is to be able to be open to the fact that there are existing ways to do this. We might need to change how we're doing this to be moving forward.
Yeah. So are you building out of Kiln?
Yeah. So we've been here even before the pandemic. So we started the company in 2019 before we did a pivot in 2020, and we were here and then, you know, kind of hunkered down for a little bit and have gradually come back.
Okay. And what is it, I guess, what has it meant to you building out of this place? Like just tell me about Kiln.
So the Kiln is special in a number of ways, one of which is they pay an enormous amount of respect and attention to the member experience. Mm-hmm. You'll notice that in contrast to any other co-working space that I've ever seen or walked into, is that they care about what is the community, what's going on, how can we help, things like that. And then the second would be, for us, it's been affordable. It's been an affordable way to be able to get nice class A office space that can attract good talent and be an enjoyable place to work with all the amenities that come with that, without having to be able to own the burden as a startup of what a five-year lease brings or any of those complexities of Class A office space.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of The Kiln Road Trip. Be sure to follow along on the rest of the journey, and you can do that in two ways. One, subscribe to the podcast, whether you're listening on Apple, Spotify, or maybe even watching on YouTube, and follow along on all of our social media platforms, whether you're on LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or TikTok, at The Swell Pod. Thanks again, and we'll see you in the next episode.